this week. We're asking a critical question that was addressed recently on the Midnight Freemason blog. What does Freemasonry as a craft, as a fraternity, as an organization that is composed of exceptional people, expect of us as members? Let us remember that our relationship with Masonry is reciprocal, that our conduct should always be reflective of our status in the fraternity, that we should always be exemplary, that we should not approve of disloyalty or rebellion, and that we stand for liberty, equality, and fraternity. Darren A. Lehners breaks it all down for us in this week's paper. All this and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode number 588. I want to thank our producers, fellows, contributors, and legacy partners for allowing us to bring this show to you. If you want to learn more about how you can help support this show, head on over to wcypodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and check out the various options. In the news, lots of wild stuff going on. You can look into it, I'm sure, all over Facebook and social media. Sometime last week, there was a ruling by a grandmaster up in Minnesota derecognizing, I think would be the term, derecognizing the Job's Daughters International. There's a little kerfluffle there. I'm sure they'll get it all figured out, but if you want to learn more, you can check out Chris Hodapp's blog. He's written all about it there. And you can check out all those details. My hope is that they resolve that situation for the kids, because that really just doesn't seem very fair. That's really it going on in the news. We've got some presentations coming up. I did want to go ahead and mention, because they are super important. And the first, of course, is coming up just in less than 2 weeks. We've got the Illinois Lodge of Research Traveling Symposium. If you love education, you'll want to be there. It's going to be held at the Valley of Danville, Scottish Rite, in Danville, Illinois. And tickets for this event are totally free. They just want to know who's coming, so that they can have adequate numbers of, you know, coffee, donuts, and all that good stuff in the morning. And it's just a one-day deal. It's going to feel like a real short day for some of us who are really excited about Masonic education and love hanging out with our brothers. But for others who just want a taste, and for others still who like education, but really who don't like it all the time, this might be a really great event for you to dive in deep, because we've got some great presentations lined up for the day. Which ones? We've got three presenters. Darren Lehners. Darren Lehners is a wonderful presenter, and he is also the host and producer of the Meet, Act, and Part podcast, as well as the managing editor over at the Midnight Freemason. But if you want to catch him do his talk, April 15th is the day. We've also got Greg Knott. Those of you who have seen Brother Greg present at other events, including, I think, two previous Illinois Lodge of Research symposiums over the last few years, you'll want to catch him. He is among the most knowledgeable brothers on the topics that he covers. It's not like he chooses something, does cursory research, and then puts out a presentation. What he chooses to speak on, he is a veritable expert, subject matter expert, that is, and a lifetime of experience there. So, plus, he's just such a cool guy. So, if you want to come out, come for those guys. The third presenter is me. I'm hoping to do something that I think will fire on all cylinders for those who are present. I'm not going to do anything terribly esoteric. I think what we're going to stick to is accessible presentations that really matter to everyone. And that's what I'm going to focus on, and that's what I'm going to talk about that day. So again, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Danville, Illinois, on the 15th. Now, I know there is a conflict for a lot of our Scottish Rite brethren up here in the northeast area of the state. Some of them may be going to the Valley of Chicago Scottish Rite reunion, and that is totally acceptable. As my friend and brother Van sometimes says, being two places at once is okay, but three gets a little tricky. And so is this, right? So I think some of us have been booked on certain things for a long time. So come out, have a good time if you can. Again, a free event. Go to tinyurl.com/travelingilor. Now, the second event that I'm super excited about that is even more important is the Midwest Conference of Masonic Education. It's a multi-day event, featuring speakers, vendors, workshops, lots and lots of networking and getting to know each other. It is pretty much like a three-day Masonic lock-in. It's pretty outstanding and epic, and boy, if you love Masonry, this is for you. If you kind of like Masonry, don't come. Let me just say, you know, we had Brother Chad Kopensky on just a few weeks ago, back in February, episode number 581, which was all about the Midwest Conference, and we had, again, Brother Chad Kopensky on, who is the president this year. And we also just had him on the Masonic Roundtable last week, and fantastic time. We talked a lot about it. If you want to learn more, please visit mcme1949.org. This event is amazing. I'll be there. I'm going to probably be manning a little booth and listening to the presentations and things. I'm a participant, and I will not be presenting or anything. So this is just going to be a really cool time to schmooze, trade ideas, and do the big work. I hope to see you all there. It's a really important day. All right. All that done, let's get into this week's education. Now, I wanted to read this piece, probably a couple of weeks ago, but I had some conflicts, and I really didn't have time to fit it into another episode. I wanted to do two articles. Some of you know that I kind of rally around this idea that Freemasons need to be Freemasons. And I think it's a really important concept, because so many of our brothers decide that there's not really Freemasonry in their lives outside of those hours that you're sitting in the lodge, which is generally unfortunate, because Freemasonry, in my opinion, expects a little bit more of you. And in those words, Brother Darren A. Laners wrote a piece for the Midnight Freemasons a little while back. I'll put a link to the article in the show notes. The title of the article was called What Freemasonry Expects of You. And let's just dive right in. What Freemasonry Expects of You, by Midnight Freemason contributor and managing editor, Worshipful Brother Darren A. Laners. Recently, a good friend and brother, as well as a huge supporter of this blog, Jim Liquia, shared a little snippet he had found entitled What Freemasonry Expects of You. Jim thought it might make a good article, and I accepted the challenge to write about it. I have no idea who the original author is, but for your enlightenment, I share the snippet below. Quote, What Freemasonry Expects of You. In asking Freemasonry to share with you its past, present, and future, you must bear in mind that the relationship is a reciprocal one. As a Freemason, certain things are expected of you. Remember always, the calling of a Freemason is a high one, and your personal conduct should always reflect this. Loyalty to home, to country, and to the fraternity is expected of you at all times. Patriotism is a duty. You should not approve of disloyalty or rebellion. Freemasonry stands for liberty, equality, and fraternity, not only for other Masons, but for all humanity. Freedom of thought, speech, and action is supported by Freemasons so far as it is not incompatible with the rights of others. Every Freemason is the enemy of ignorance, bigotry, oppression, superstition, and all mental and spiritual darkness. A Mason champions the cause of the widow, the fatherless, the weak, and the oppressed. He challenges the arbitrary assumption by anyone of the power to dictate any group or individual's actions, beliefs, and destinies. These time-honored virtues, so cherished by our forefathers, are still relevant. Humility, patience, charity, and gentleness are among the hallmarks of purity and integrity of character. That is what Freemasonry expects of you. In reading the above, several things become clear to me. But the main thing that stands out is how many of our members probably would read this and agree with it, but then not act according to what it's saying. This is no surprise to me. Even in the most well-guarded lodges, we have members that talk the talk, but do not walk the walk. I thought a good experiment would be to break each section apart and look at it from a Masonic lens. Throughout your degrees, you were charged with acting and conducting yourself in a certain way. And I believe that the snippet above is a summary of these points. In asking Freemasonry to share with you its past, present, and future, you must bear in mind the relationship is a reciprocal one. As a Freemason, certain things are expected of you. One of the things that I have addressed many times that I don't like being said to a candidate after his third degree, even though I believe it to be 100% true, is, you get out of Freemasonry what you put into it. I don't like this being said to a candidate because I believe that it can be taken out of context and used as an excuse in their mind to justify not returning to the lodge. I would rather hear something like, you must bear in mind that the relationship with Freemasonry is a reciprocal one. I also believe that this expectation which is being talked about is referenced in the ritual from the Entered Apprentice degree. Quote, my brother, it is hoped and expected that you will apply yourself to the study of Masonry as Entered Apprentices served their masters in ancient times, which was with freedom, fervency, and zeal. I think it's important to understand that freedom, as it's used above, is not used to define a state of not being dominated or enslaved or otherwise restricted. Nor does it mean the power of self-determination to choose your own action independently. Rather, it is used in the archaic sense, which is a frankness and generous willingness to work or perform one's duty. In this case, how a Freemason is expected to act toward the worshipful master and his lodge. Fervency is warmth, friendliness, earnestness, or intensity of feeling. In this case, the Freemason is expected to show a passion for learning and working in Freemasonry, and doing so with warmth and friendliness toward the worshipful master and the lodge. Zeal is defined as having great energy or enthusiasm in devotion to a task or objective. A Freemason is expected to have unbridled enthusiasm toward fulfilling a task or objective that is ordered by the worshipful master or at the consent of the lodge. Remember always, the calling of a Freemason is a high one, and your personal conduct should always reflect this. Throughout the degrees, there are numerous references to how a Freemason is supposed to act. But I think the best summary of this is found in the charge to the Fellowcraft, which states, quote, your general reputation affords satisfactory assurance that you will not suffer any consideration to induce you to act in any manner unworthy of the respectable character you now bear. But, on the contrary, that you will ever display the discretion, the virtue, and the dignity which become a worthy and exemplary Mason. End quote. If you are a longtime reader of the blog, you will find many articles from many authors that all have addressed the same issue, which is that our behavior outside the lodge room is more important than our behavior inside the lodge room. All it takes is for one of our brethren to do something against our teachings in the profane world, get caught on video doing it, and, depending on the severity of what is done, we could be looking at the next Morgan affair. While some of you probably think I'm being dramatic, I'm not. I want you to think about how easy it would be for Freemasonry to be held accountable for one member's actions in today's age. We are statistically, from a membership standpoint, predominantly male. Yes, there are women who are Freemasons, and while they are considered irregular, they practice regular Freemasonry. See this article, Confusion in the Temple by Elias Akram, past Grand Master. In any case, they have an average age in the low to mid-60s. This is a statement of fact and not an attempt to disparage our fraternity, but rather it is to say that we are one bad member away from potential ruin. How we conduct ourselves in the profane world matters more now than at any other time in history. In today's world, perception is reality, and information, especially in the form of video, can be shared instantaneously with a wide audience. Subduing one's passions matters more for Freemasons now than at any other point in history because the court of public opinion has a much larger jury. And that jury isn't going to care about how much money we spend on charity per day. They're going to care about what they see on that video. And there is going to be instant accountability for their actions. It also should be a guide to who we allow into our fraternity. Signing a potential new member's petition after knowing them for an hour over dinner is not guarding the West Gate. It's the equivalent of lighting a match near the powder keg. Every time we strike that match, we're not sure if we're going to be blowing up the fraternity or not. yet we have members that continue to do so with abandon. If you care about Freemasonry, then realize that Freemasonry was not designed for everyone. If someone wants to be a Freemason, then they need to work for it. Invite them back to dinner several more times, and if you are not in one of the jurisdictions that require background checks for potential members, think about doing one. Make them do some work to become a member, and make sure you act with due diligence on our end. Are some bad apples going to infiltrate our hallowed halls? Sure. You can never really know what is inside a man's heart, but the odds of getting one are lowered dramatically when you require them to put in an effort to join. The ones that really have the desire to become a Freemason are going to put in the work. Loyalty to home, to country, and to fraternity is expected of you at all times. The charge in the Entered Apprentice degree gives specific instructions on a Mason's duty to his home, his country, and Freemasonry. To home, quote, as an individual, you are charged to practice the domestic and public virtues. Let temperance, chasten, fortitude support, prudence direct you, and justice be the guide of all of your actions. Be especially careful to maintain in their fullest splendor those true Masonic ornaments of brotherly love, relief, and truth. End quote. Then it addresses to country. Quote, as a citizen, you are enjoined to be exemplary in the discharge of your civil duties by never proposing or countenancing any act which may have a tendency to subvert the peace and good order of society, by paying due obedience to the laws under whose protection you live, and by never losing sight of the allegiance you owe to your country. End quote. To the fraternity, you are charged to be faithful to the trust committed to your care, manifest your fidelity by a strict observance to the principles of our fraternity, and by refraining to recommend anyone to a participation in our privileges, unless you have strong reasons to believe that by a similar fidelity he will ultimately reflect honor on our ancient institution. Furthermore, in our Master Mason degree, we are reminded that the Master Mason's apron is worn in the manner of the operative Master Masons to admonish us that our actions toward mankind should possess that perfect figure of a square, to symbolize the integrity of our service to God and remind us of our fourfold duty to our country, family, neighbor, and self. Interestingly enough, we find the ancient charges printed by Anderson in 1723 have similar instructions. Regarding behavior at home and in your neighborhood, states, quote, you are to act as becomes a moral and wise man, particularly not to let your family, friends, and neighbors know the concerns of the lodge, but wisely to consult your own honor and that of the ancient brotherhood for reasons not to be mentioned here. You must also consult your health by not continuing together too late or too long from home after lodge hours are passed, and by avoiding of gluttony or drunkenness, that your families be not neglected or injured, nor you disabled from working. End quote. To country, under the section of the civil magistrate, supreme and subordinate, it says, quote, a Mason is a peaceable subject to the civil powers, wherever he resides or works, and is never to be concerned in plots, conspiracies against the peace and welfare of the nation, nor to behave himself undutifully to inferior magistrates. For as Masonry hath been always injured by war, bloodshed, and confusion, so ancient kings and princes have been much disposed to encourage the craftsmen because of their peaceableness and loyalty, whereby they practically answered the cavils of their adversaries and promoted the honor of the fraternity, who ever flourished in times of peace, so that if a brother should be a rebel against the state, he is not to be countenanced in his rebellion, however he may be pitied as an unhappy man, and if convicted of no other crime, though the loyal brotherhood must and ought to disown his rebellion and give no umbrage or ground of political jealousy to the government for the time being, they cannot expel him from the lodge, and his relation to it remains indefeasible. End quote. Yet Freemasons have played prominent roles in the revolutions of America, France, Mexico, Venezuela, and the Philippines. The liberal values, which I will address shortly, promoted by Freemasonry obviously had some degree of impact on these individuals. Our American Masonic icon George Washington would have been tried and executed for high treason by the British Crown had he been captured. Other individuals involved in the revolutions above would have suffered the same fate if captured by the parties they were rebelling against. It's hard for Americans, let alone those that consider themselves patriotic, to look at him as someone who was committing rebellion. Yet we need to carefully look at what the ancient charges state if a brother is not loyal to his country. Then we find that he should not be supported but pitied as being unhappy by his brothers. And as long as they are not convinced of any other crime, I'm assuming other than that of being a rebel, which most likely would carry a penalty of death, and his brothers must disown his actions and not support them, but that they cannot deny him a place in the lodge. And to the fraternity, the ancient charges ask every Mason to observe, quote, "And also those that shall be communicated to you in another way, cultivating brotherly love, the foundation and capstone, the cement and glory of this ancient fraternity, avoiding all wrangling and quarreling, all slander and backbiting, nor permitting others to slander any honest brother, but defending his character and doing him all good offices, as far as he is consistent with your honor and safety, and no farther." End quote. Patriotism is a duty. You should not approve of disloyalty or rebellion. Freedom of speech, of the press, of association, of peaceable assembly, and to be able to petition one's government for a redress of grievances is a set of guarantees protected by the First Amendment, which comprises what can be referred to as freedom of expression. The Supreme Court has written that this freedom is the matrix, the indispensable condition of nearly every other form of freedom. End quote. Without it, other fundamental rights of citizens could wither and die. Participating in any of the above should be considered patriotic because the framers had the forethought to grant these rights under the First Amendment of our Constitution, and therefore participation in civic, or as the ancient charges call them, civil duties, should be seen as patriotic. I will discuss more regarding the freedom of expression in the discussion about the idea of liberty below. The idea of patriotism within Freemasonry is a complex one, especially here in America. Merriam-Webster defines patriotism as love for or devotion to one's country. One of the most obvious displays of patriotism we display as Freemasons, at least here in Illinois, is reciting the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of our country prior to opening a Blue Lodge meeting. The idea of patriotism has been put to the test in the United States of America, and it seems to be continually put to the test. Recently, due to politicization of events where a citizen or citizens have expressed their opinions, by exercising their First Amendment rights, the idea of being patriotic has become politicized. Because of the politicization of civic virtues like patriotism, it's a subject that I was hesitant to write about, especially given the political polarization of our society. However, I think that we as Freemasons must be an example of showing unity in our displays of patriotism regardless of our personal political inclinations. It is my personal belief that a Freemason must take the view that performing our civic duty is to be patriotic, and every Freemason must accept everyone's rights are the same under the First Amendment regardless of their personal belief, and that the exercise of those rights is in itself a patriotic act. This does not mean that a Freemason can not be opposed to something that is being expressed, either through speech, the press, peaceable assembly, or redressing of grievances, but rather that he upholds the rights of those that he might otherwise disagree with on sectarian topics. An example of this from the not-too-distant past is one that happened in the state of Illinois. In 1977, the ACLU took on the case of defending a group of Chicago-area Nazis who wanted to hold a demonstration in downtown Skokie, which is a suburb of Chicago that was, at that time, the home to hundreds of survivors of the Holocaust and has a large Jewish population. Ultimately, the Nazis decided to assemble in a park in Chicago instead. While a Freemason should find the beliefs held by any Nazi abhorrent, Freemasons must also understand that they are entitled to the same rights and privileges as every other citizen under the First Amendment. Yet there is a distinction that needs to be made between exercising one's First Amendment rights, even when the majority of citizens would rather suppress any expression of it they might find offensive in violent mob action, Anytime the actions of individuals who are exercising their constitutional rights become violent, then those rights are rescinded. And by proxy, those actions can no longer be considered patriotic and must be considered criminal instead. Using the example above, the ACLU warned the Nazis that any attempt to incite or participate in violence would mean that they would no longer be able to defend them on the First Amendment grounds. Due to the politicization mentioned above, the idea of being patriotic has also been co-opted to be equated with the idea of nationalism. To quote Charles de Gaulle, "Patriotism is when love of your country comes first, nationalism when hate for people other than your own comes first." Nationalism is the policy or doctrine of asserting the interests of one's own nation viewed as separate from the interests of other nations or the common interests of all nations. Nationalism is a term used when political ideologies and movements that are more extreme and exclusionary love of one's country at the expense of foreigners, immigrants, and even people in a country who aren't believed to belong in some way, often based on racial and religious grounds. It is a direct contradiction to patriotism. Patriotism is not nationalism. The lessons of Freemasonry are in direct contradiction to nationalism. Look no further than what has happened to Freemasons under totalitarian rule to see an example of this. Freemasonry stands for liberty, equality, and fraternity, not only for other Masons, but for all humanity. All of the above is what should be considered Freemasonry's core liberal values. From a Masonic viewpoint, liberty is the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed on one's way of life, behavior, or religious/political views. Equality is the concept that all humanity is equal, but further that no man be denied rights, privileges, or opportunities because of their birth, class, caste, religion, color, race, gender, or social standing. Fraternity is the idea that all of humankind is the same. Being a Freemason means that you not only uphold the above and fight for these rights of other Freemasons, but for everyone. Freedom of thought, speech, and action is supported by Freemasons, so far as it is not incompatible with the rights of others. The idea of liberty is to allow freedom of thought, speech, and action. It is the idea that all men should be allowed to think, say, or do as they please, as long as that thought, speech, or action does not infringe on the rights of others. Much like the example I gave above regarding the idea of practicing patriotism in the expression of one's fundamental right to protest via peaceable assembly, the above covers other rights we have under the First Amendment. This can be difficult sometimes for a Freemason to do, especially when they have an understanding that their political or religious beliefs may be against that thought, speech, or action. Ultimately, in these cases, I would ask one to simply follow that golden rule, the truth of which resides in some form in every holy book, which is the simple act of treating others how you, yourself, would want to be treated. You personally do not have to like what they think, say, or do, but as a Freemason, you should support their right to do so, as long as what they are thinking, saying, or doing is not infringing on those same rights that you or other citizens have. Every Freemason is the enemy of ignorance, bigotry, oppression, superstition, and all mental and spiritual darkness. Being an enemy of ignorance, bigotry, oppression, superstition, and all mental and spiritual darkness is someone who is aware of and fighting against the spread of ignorance, lack of knowledge, education, or awareness, which leads to the spreading of misinformation. Bigotry, prejudice against a person or a group of people based upon their race, religion, sexuality, gender, and their expression of such. Oppression, prolonged cruel or unjust treatment or control, usually of an action or event, or a practice based on such a belief, mental darkness, the condition of being uninformed or uneducated, and spiritual darkness, the absence of a belief in a deity. A Mason champions the cause of the widow, the fatherless, the weak, and the oppressed. Championing the cause of the widow, the fatherless, orphans, the weak, and the oppressed is supporting and contributing to the relief of those less fortunate than ourselves. It is practicing charity toward all mankind, not only in monetary form, but as being someone who actively is working to make the world a better place. It can be as simple as a random act of kindness in the profane world toward those less fortunate than ourselves. It is helping someone if they ask for help without the expectation of a reward. Contributing one's relief means to help soothe whatever affliction or problem they are facing. He challenges the arbitrary assumption by anyone of the power to dictate any group or individual's actions, beliefs, and destinies. This is again the idea of supporting liberty as the state of being free within a society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or religious political views. All Freemasons should recognize a case of a group or individual using any ideology of bigotry to deny the liberties of a minority individual or group as being wrong, and should challenge that group or individual. Yet liberty is another idea that has been politicized due to recent events. What is a Freemason supposed to do when the definition of liberty isn't so cut and dry? Ultimately, that answer is up to every Freemason. As Freemasons, I would hope that we would not be willing to allow another brother to operate a motor vehicle if we observe them to be intoxicated. While this infringes on the individual brother's liberty, taking their keys away could ultimately save not only their life, but the lives of others as well. In such cases, do the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, or the one, as Mr. Spock famously stated in the movie Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan? I would say that we as brothers are obligated to protect each other from harm, and that we also would not want to harm anyone else. So, while we should challenge infringements upon any individual's or group's liberty, it is my opinion that we should also recognize that in situations where others could be harmed or killed by allowing liberty to be exercised, a Freemason would be like Spock, and understand that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. The above liberal values of Freemasonry align with the idea of having a society that is open and inclusive for everyone. Freemasonry teaches us that the immovable jewels of the square, level, and plumb teach morality, equality, and the rectitude of life. Morality is a code of conduct that, given specified conditions, would be put forward by all rational people. Equality is, again, the concept that all humanity is equal, but further that no man may be denied rights, privileges, or opportunities because of their birth, class, caste, religion, color, race, gender, or social standing. Rectitude of life is that act of living a life that is correct, upright, and honorable. This is in step with the idea of the Freemason exercising brotherly love, which teaches us, quote, to regard the whole human species as one family, the high, the low, rich, poor, who, as created by one almighty parent and inhabitants of the same planet, are to aid, support, and protect each other. On this principle, Masonry unites men of every country, sect, and opinion, conciliates true friendship among those who might otherwise have remained at a perpetual distance. End quote. These time-honored virtues so cherished by our forefathers are still relevant. Humility, patience, charity, and gentleness are among the hallmarks of purity and integrity of character. That is what Freemasonry expects of you. Freemasonry is still relevant. The world needs our values now more than ever. There will always be a need for mature, masculine role models. Time will tell if Freemasonry survives. But when we do not act according to our tenets and we sully the reputation of Freemasonry, we are hurting the chances of its survival. Like I said above, we are only one bad apple away from the next Morgan affair. All it takes is one Freemason not to hold up his end of the bargain, to not act according to the above in the profane world, and for that act to be horrendous, go viral on TikTok, and it all comes crumbling down like the walls of Jericho. It really is that simple. So remember that if you choose to wear a Masonic ring or Masonic apparel in public, that you represent the entire fraternity. That is why Freemasonry has these expectations. Live up to them. Darren A. Laners. Love this piece. I liked the soapbox. It's a soapbox I've been on many times myself. There's a great confusion amongst, I think, the entire population of the world on what is patriotism, and more especially in some of our chaotic instances here whether it be the United States or the United Kingdom. Patriotism is something that I think people get very confused about, and the idea of supporting other people's rights and things, because they necessarily believe that the way somebody lives is harmful to others, then they think that this is okay to attack those people or those ideologies. And truth be told, if people looked at the studies and the science that goes along with these things, it's not hurting anybody. I'd love to hear your thoughts on some of these items. I'll make sure I put a post up in the Craftsman Plus group for you so that you can check out the intellectual conversation that's sure to happen. Now, I wanted to do a tarot card of this week, a random tarot card draw, and contemplate it a little bit. So in order to facilitate this, first thing I need to do, it's been a little bit, so if you haven't heard us do a segment like this before, I will preface this by saying that the tarot has nothing to do with Freemasonry. The tarot is, in of itself, its own set of tools. It is a book. It has an ISBN, even though they're cards. Something that I also need to tell everyone is that the cards essentially have their own stories. And just like you might ask, hey, this week, tell me how the level is affecting your life, or the gavel is affecting your life. In that same way, there are stories associated with every card, and when we pull a card, we can ask, hey, how does this situation affect our life today, or this month, or something? So I'm going to pull a random card. I'm going to use the Mithwaite Tarot Deck Centennial Edition. These are playing card size deck. I'll post a picture of the card we draw in the Craftsman Plus group. Just want to give them a quick little shuffle here. I'm not shuffling them in any particular way. I'm going to draw a random card. And again, we're going to ask ourselves what this card might have in store for us. Does it even connect with us? And we'll try to connect it Masonically as well. So here we go. I'm going to pull a card. Flip it over. So the card that we got is an inverted Ace of Cups. Now, to start off, cups are cards that deal with emotional stuff and really deal with kind of thinking with your emotions rather than your analytical brain. So an inverted Ace of Cups doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad card. What an Ace of Cups is going to tell us, like if it was upright, it might mean something like a new boyfriend or girlfriend, a new relationship, or maybe you're going to start some new creative activity with a friend who is very close. But if the card is reversed, it doesn't necessarily mean like a breakup or anything. Actually, this is speaking to us to say, hey, we need to be more in touch with our own self right now. Have you been taking care of yourself? Have you been trusting your intuitions? Have you been pushing down emotions or things that you wanted to talk about? Perhaps something happened in Lodge and it's been really bothering you, and you haven't been able to bring it up to the Lodge or the Worshipful Master. Maybe now is the time to call up that brother and say, can we talk on the level? I want to voice my opinion on something, and I'd love to have a conversation about it so that both of us walk away feeling better. This would address things like our repressed feelings toward other people, or something that perhaps happened in Lodge. Or maybe it means you are super, super active in Freemasonry, and you've been neglecting yourself. It could mean anything from it's time to sit down and relax, take a nap, or it could mean it's time that you go ahead and maybe replace the tired suit that you've been wanting to retire. You know, you can go to a Men's Warehouse or a Macy's, or heck, I've gotten a few suits from Goodwill. I just go pick them up and take them to the dry cleaner and they tailor them right up for you. But whatever that case is, it's saying, hey, don't forget about you. Remember to solve problems and take care of yourself, your problems, and to give yourself the same time of day that you would give other people who come to you. It's really important. We should all focus on this next coming week. Let's all ask ourselves, hey, what is bothering us in Lodge? What's bothering us in our personal lives? Is it time? Do we need a little nap? Do we need to spruce up the wardrobe? Spring is here, so like, is it time to start something new? Go for it, right? Trusting your intuitions and things of this nature. So that's what I hope you all focus on. I hope you have a wonderful week going forward. That's it for this week. I want to thank you all for joining. I want to thank our producers, fellows, contributors, and legacy partners for allowing us to bring this show to you every single week, every month, every year, 50 episodes a year. It's all thanks to you guys and those people out there sharing the episodes and things that we can do this all the time. So again, if you want to learn more about how you can help support this show, head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and check out the various options. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you all next week. Until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.
Yeah.